So today I would like to explore with you a little bit the nature of our relationship with God as followers of Jesus. So I think about the gospel. The gospel is an invitation. It's an invitation, first of all, to be set free from the penalty and the guilt of our sin. Jesus gave up his life, shed his blood to make payment for our sins. And the gospel then invites us to enter into a new relationship with the Lord. We're invited to draw close to him, to have his spirit dwell in us. And in that relationship, there are things that God wants to accomplish in us. There are things he wants us to experience in life, ways he wants us to grow. He wants to experience the fullness of life he wants to provide for us. And that means there are things that God expects of us in this relationship. And really, the question I want to get to today is, what does God want from us? What is it he wants from us in this relationship? Because when you think about living out our Christian life, I look back on all the years that I've been through Christian, things that I've heard and things that I've been taught, I've heard several different ideas expressed about what it is that God really wants from me. And a lot of it tends to be toward he wants me to be obedient. And we can find lots of biblical support for that. Right? Luke 6:46, for example, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you?" And goes on from there to describe how a person who hears his words and does them is like building a house on a solid foundation. Jesus calls us to do what he tells us to do. There are lots of commands that are given throughout the scriptures. In the New Testament, we see lots of calls to overcome sin, to change our lives, to be transformed, to be obedient to the Lord's laws. Sometimes the focus is on service to God. In addition to being obedient, we see lots of examples in the Bible to serve the Lord. For instance, Colossians 3, 23 through 24 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." Or Romans 12, 1 says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." So maybe our life as Christians is about offering our lives, offering our bodies as sacrifices to the Lord, doing the Lord's work in this world. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has prepared for us in advance to do." And of course, there's the Great Commission. Go and make disciples, right? There's lots of things that we're called to do for the Lord as Christians. So maybe the emphasis is on service to the Lord. And as we work out all these things, there's lots of different expectations that rise up as we try to be obedient and try to serve well. Things like being part of a church family, giving generously, praying regularly, reading and studying the Bible, participating in things like baptism and communion. So we think about what God wants from us. We can come up with all kinds of examples of things that God wants us to do out of devotion to him. And there's lots of biblical support for all those things. We can find examples throughout the Bible where we're called to do these things for God. But there's a problem that comes up when we start focusing on the things to do, what we are called to do when we think about what God wants from us. The first is that it really doesn't align with the gospel message, right? We know that Jesus gave his life freely and willingly for all people. We do not need to prove our worth to God. He offers his forgiveness, this new life, as a gift of grace. So then are we saying you received that gift freely and now you have entered into a life of service to the Lord where now you have to prove your devotion to him? Something just doesn't line up right with that, right? And the message of Christianity starts to sound like almost like a trick to get you in, and now we've got you. You've signed a contract, you've signed your life away, and we're going to have you do all these things, right? I've known many Christians who have gotten very frustrated, like, I'm part of this church and they want me to do this and they want me to give to that, and my whole life is now devoted to doing all these things for the church. And on top, underneath all that is this is my service to God. it just doesn't fit with the gospel message somehow. It makes it all about our actions, our ability. And we all know from experience that the very reason that Jesus came and offered his life is we can't prove ourselves devoted enough. We will continue to fall short. And maybe you've experienced that as a Christian. Maybe you've experienced that frustration of, darn it, I cannot get myself to obey. I cannot get myself to live up to all these expectations that are on me now that I'm living for God. It's so much harder to be a Christian than it was before I became a Christian because now I have these expectations on me. Is that really what God wants from us? And you know the answer is no. The other problem with that focus on doing the things is that it's just superficial. We can make ourselves appear to be very good, right? We can do all the things that we're told to do, but our hearts are far from God. And Jesus expressed that very well in his interactions with the Pharisees. And this is a longer passage I wanted to take a look at with you. Matthew chapter 23, we can see Jesus' interactions with the Pharisees. And this one, I think, really just captures the attitude he often expressed toward them and why he expressed that. Matthew 23. I'm going to begin in verse 23. So Matthew 23, verse 23. If you want to open up to that. Jesus says here, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, then the outside may also be clean." The Pharisees were very particular about following the letter of the law. And they added law upon law to make sure that we didn't wander too far away from the boundaries set, to make sure that everyone was appearing, at least, to be obedient to the Lord. And they felt they were very righteous because of their obedience. But Jesus revealed what was underneath. They were only focused on making an appearance of righteousness. And so if our focus in our Christian walk is just on doing the things that express obedience or express service to the Lord, we can do those without our hearts being in the right place. That's honestly why when we came up with these values for True North and we said serve in love, because we want our motivation to serve God to be what drives us to serve. It's not about we want to get you in here and get you serving right away and just doing the things to make sure the church functions and make sure we all look like we're doing good for God. No, we want you to have a desire to love God, and out of love, then you serve him. It's trying to get the order right. That's what Jesus refers to at the end of that passage I read. He said, clean first the inside of the cup and the plate, then the outside also may become clean. We have to deal with what's inside first. And so whether we're looking at acts of obedience or service or devotion, these are all things that we can do superficially and pridefully, but God wants more from us than just obedience. He wants to do something internally in us. He's not looking for us to just show him that we're devoted. He wants our hearts to be given over to him. This is why, well, not why, but you think about the great commandment where Jesus said the first and greatest commandment is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. That's the most important thing. Love the Lord with all of your heart and your mind and your soul. It's when we do that first and foremost, then out of that comes the obedience and the service and all the things. In Luke 6, Jesus says, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit." I mean, just pause there. We talk in the church, and the Bible talks about bearing fruit. We want to bear the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Well, as Jesus says plainly here, you can't bear good fruit if you're a bad tree. Only a good tree can bear good fruit. And we have to begin first with what's underneath. Jesus says, as I read on, for each tree is known by its fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from the bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. God wants our hearts toward him. When our hearts are for him, our lives will truly flourish and produce all the good things that we want to see. All the external stuff will start to happen when we deal with our heart and we open up our hearts to the Lord. So really, God wants something more than just your obedience, more than your service, more than all the things of being involved in church and learning and growing. What he wants is your whole heart turned toward him. He wants for you to love him wholeheartedly. So that's the simple answer to the question. What does God want from you? He wants your heart, all of it. He wants you to open up your heart to him. But we need to dig into that a little bit too, because you can think about opening our hearts to the Lord at different levels. You might start with just saying, oh yeah, I love the Lord. I'm so happy and joyful for the love that Jesus has shown me, for the acceptance he has given me. That's such a wonderful gift, the gift of God's grace. We come to understand who Jesus is and what he offers us. We open our hearts in love to the Lord out of joy for what he's offering us. And that's a good place to start. But there's much more to opening our hearts to the Lord than just experiencing the joy that he brings into our lives. The next level comes from understanding that Jesus wants to provide you with the fullness of life. And that involves growth. It involves transformation and healing. It involves learning things, changing things in our lives. It involves overcoming sinful habits. And so you start to open up those areas of your heart to the Lord, sharing with him your struggles, your wounds, the things you know you shouldn't be doing and you want to give up, the ways that you know you've been hurting yourself in this world and you want to live a more full life because you want to experience the fullness of God. You want to be obedient to him. And so you start to open up that part of your heart to the Lord, saying, Lord, well, you're welcome to change me. Let your Spirit guide me, teach me who you are. Right? That will lead us into all kinds of actions that we take to grow and to learn, to be transformed, and to heal. And I think there's an even deeper part of our heart, though, than that. That part is where we often arrive at, right? The first part of experiencing the joy is the easy one that most people turn to right away. And if you really are serious about Jesus and you really want to keep going with him, then you enter into that second part. And a lot of people stop there, but there is a deeper, darker part of our heart that is a much more difficult to open up. It's a part of our heart that we remain hidden from most people, even hidden from ourselves a lot of times. We don't want to admit to it. It's the part of us that says, I don't want to give up this selfish thing. I don't want to let go of this way of living. I see in God's word the kind of person he wants me to be. I hear his commands. But I want to hold on to this. I want to be this way. It's the part of our heart that responds selfishly to things in the world. It says, I want my way. I want what I want. And I don't want to stop feeling that way because the world is just going to take away from me. It's the part of our heart that has to admit, I really am not a good person. So often that when we start to reveal ourselves to God and to one another, what we reveal the kinds of things that we're okay sharing. Because either it's something that's happened to us that we didn't have control over, or we can find a way to say, well, you know, I gave in to temptation and I'm really not fully responsible for this, right? There's some way that I can say that, you know, yes, maybe I sinned, but all these things were happening. I gave in to temptation, and I'm willing to give that up. okay, God, here, have this. But then there's that other piece that says, it's just, we hold on to those things tightly, those things we just do not want to give up to God. That's the deepest, darkest part of ourselves that we have to be willing to open up to God. But there's a risk in that. Not only is there a risk of exposing yourself to the Lord in ways you don't even want to admit to yourselves, there's the risk that maybe this is the thing, the unforgivable sin that God won't accept me for. Maybe it's, like I said, you don't want to give these things up, and what's God going to demand of me if I do offer this to him? How is he going to tell me I have to change my life if I do give this to him? And so there's a risk involved in this. But the great thing about this is God's attitude toward us. There's another passage I wanted to share that speaks about this part of our lives, I think. This is Psalm 51, verses 15 through 17. This is a psalm of David. How long is this one? I'm going to just read the whole thing. It's only 19 verses. Let's just read the whole thing. And maybe there'll be other insights that God reveals to me as we read this. But Psalm 51 says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Let me just pause there. So far, this is just an open, honest invitation to the Lord. Just take me, Lord. Wipe out all transgression from my life. I admit that I'm a sinner. Let's read on. Verse 8. "Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, for my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the right sacrifices, in burnt offerings, and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar." It's that passage in verse 16 and 17 that I really wanted to focus on, where it says that you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. And that really gets to that idea of, what are we giving to God? Is it our obedience, our sacrifices, our services? God doesn't delight in those things if they don't come from a heart that is open to him. There are many places in the scriptures where God says, I don't delight in your sacrifices. And the people of Israel are doing all the things, they're going through all the motions, but they do not honor the Lord. And so David says, you will not delight in sacrifice. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. Here's the sacrifice that God honors: the broken spirit, the broken and contrite heart. And I often think that's the place we need to get to open ourselves wholeheartedly to God, to be broken by him. To get to that point in life that says, I have tried and I have tried and I have tried, and I have discovered that I cannot find any fulfillment in this world on my own. These things that I think that I want, they keep on hurting me. They're hurting other people. these ways that I want to live in, I know are not honoring to you, Lord, and just increasing sin in this world. And you just finally break yourself down and say, okay, Lord, here you go. Here I am. Just as I am, plain, broken, dirty, dark, and just honestly bearing ourselves before God. Honest, not just admitting to God the things we know we shouldn't be and we're okay getting rid of, but everything, every part of us saying, here I am, Lord. That's what God wants from us. The broken heart has been broken by this world. It's been broken down by our own stubbornness and says, here we are, Lord. And the great thing about this, as David said simply at the end, a broken and contrite, oh God, you will not despise. God will not despise you when you just lay yourself openly and bare before him. He will accept you. That is the greatness of God. He is so good that no matter how bad and dark and damaged your heart is, he will not despise you. He will receive you. He will offer you his love and his grace. He will not turn you away. You can trust him with every single part of your heart. That is the joy of the Christian life, to know that there is a God, a creator of life, the one who knows us even before we tell him who we are, that he will not despise you. So let's ask ourselves today, how much of your heart have you given to God? How much have you really opened yourself up to him? How much have you consciously allowed him to have access to? Are there parts that you're still holding back? For whatever reason that might be, you don't want him to see it. Maybe you fear what's going to happen. God will not despise you when you open those things up to him. He is offering you, inviting you to just lay yourself bare before him and let's see what happens. This is God we're talking about, the God, the creator of life, who wants nothing. Well, I won't say nothing. He wants you to experience the fullness of life with him. But you can't get there until you open yourself wholeheartedly to him. Let's consider how much more we can be sharing with the Lord if there's anything we're holding back. He is good and he is trustworthy. God wants your whole heart. Let's work on giving all of it to him. Let's pray and give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are trustworthy. That can be so hard to find in this world. And we hesitate because it's hard, Lord. But I do stand before you representing this church saying we want to offer ourselves fully to you, Lord. Help us to have faith. Help us to have the courage to open ourselves up fully to you. Pray that you speak to each one of us today. Reveal to us any parts of us that we are still holding back. Give us the courage, Lord, to invite you in and to invite you to do with us as you would. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.